Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead. Take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello, Cooles. Welcome to Barca Talk. I'm your host, Gabriel Quiroga, here in the Spanish capital. In today's episode, we're going to review the Alaves match, talk a bit about La Liga refs, and expand a bit on Deco's interview with La Vanguardia. Before we get into the episode, wanted to talk about Magic Mind, our newest sponsor. It is the world's first productivity drink. If you're looking for a great way to keep your energy steady throughout the day, Magic Mind is a great way to help achieve that. With Magic Mind, you can ditch that third, fourth, fifth coffee and stay alert and focused throughout the day. A great way to take Magic Mind is in the morning as part of your routine. You know, Remy is taking the Magic Mind, and as he noted in a week ago or so, how he uses Magic Mind before he has to be super productive, and he has noticed some of those changes. Also, he said the taste is pretty good as well. So, Magic Mind is full of natural ingredients such as Bacopa Monnieri, which is a neurotropic that improves your attention span, your ability to process and learn new information, and helps with your memory. The Magic Mind team created a super offer for me to share with you Cooles. Get 3 months for the price of two with a quarterly subscription using the code BARCATALK20. Again, the code is BARCATALK20. Get your first batch at magicmind.com/Barca. Talk and redeem the discount code BARCATALK20. Crush your 2024 New Year resolutions fully focused. The link is in the show notes. All right, so let's get into this match. On Saturday night, FC Barcelona beat Alaves away 3-1. And I would say this is something we have been yearning for a while, for Xavi to make some slight changes, and these slight changes proved pivotal. We had a lot to talk about in this match. And I think the first thing we need to look at is the role of Christensen. Now, Christensen was bumped up to be kind of the pivot in front of Araujo and Koundé, and I think it worked wonders. We have been talking all season about Koundé and Araujo, how they do need to pair up. They need to be the starting center backs. I personally think that they are the most athletic, the fastest, the most talented, so let's go with them. And as I talked about in previous episodes, I wanted Christensen to come in to maybe spell one of them for 20 minutes if need be. However, I think we have uncovered something, especially with the lack of pivot that we've been getting through Gundogan, right? So Gundogan has been mostly kind of in that position. And as we've noted in previous episodes too, we think it's hurting the attack because, as we noted last season with Gundogan's season with Man City, you know, he's in the attacking role. He's providing assists. He's scoring goals. He had one of the best seasons of his career. With Christensen back there, it's a good fit, right? Because he's a center back, but he doesn't have to be in the back line, and he can read and react as well as anybody in La Liga. And he did have an outstanding performance there. Now, what this helps, you know, this is basically because we have a lack of wingers currently, right? So Pedri had to play left wing, and then we had Gundogan on the right and Frankie de Jong on the left, pushing that up, right? So now Gundogan doesn't have to worry about that defensive responsibility so much. And I would dare say that was Gundogan's best match of the season. Now, according to a bunch of stats websites I saw, he had the best performance of the team. followed by Lamine Yamal and Victor Roque. And so, again, I think there is some credence to that. Maybe we did uncover something. It almost feels, you know, Pedri wasn't a complete winger, but at least he helped in with the possession. Again, we dominated possession, but I also think our attacks were much stronger in this match. Now, again, I really think this is something that we definitely have to explore. I would like to see this same type of lineup with Christensen, Araujo, and Koundé up the middle for the Granada match this weekend. And I think, you know, I think it just puts everyone in a better position. We saw better play from Lewandowski. We saw exceptional play from Lamine Yamal. And again, Frankie de Jong was able to push when he had to. And especially on the goal for the Gundogan goal, we saw Frankie de Jong push that tempo and find the through ball to the left with Pedri's beautiful lob pass to Gundogan's volley. Now, again, I really think this is something, you know, this is what we've been clamoring from Xavi, to tinker, to try different things. This is the time to get crazy. You have nothing to lose right now, right? You're out already. You're leaving at the end of the year. So let's try some new ideas. And I think that, you know, it doesn't take much, you know? Again, I think this is the best of both worlds. You're solid up the middle. You have speed on the back line. You have Araujo and Koundé working together in harmony back there. And yeah, you know, even though Alaves had more shots on goal, total shots, they had more total shots, and then we had more shots on goal than they did. They only had two, and obviously one of them was the goal. But I think we did a pretty good job on Samu. And I have to just say, you know, after doing the scouting report last week on Friday, looking him up online and then actually seeing him on TV and so forth, he's going to be a force in La Liga. Now, he is property of Atletico Madrid, and I can tell you, you know who is going to link up really well with him? Him and Griezmann. He, to me, was physical. He was trying to mix it up with Araujo, and he had no problem with that. And I think he's going to be a perfect Atletico Madrid player. And I think he's hungry for goal. I think he's going to be a better version of Morata for them. And he's going to be, yeah, he's going to be a troublesome striker for La Liga teams in the coming years. Again, as I talked about Gundogan, I thought it was his best match. You know, with the way he was able to really penetrate and look for those passes, he also helped to push Lewandowski as well. So I think Lewandowski had a better performance. We were able to see some of those runs and see a little bit more action from Lewandowski. Obviously, we're still lacking some of those goals, but again, he came up with the first goal, which was very nice. And again, he's hopefully maybe trying to find his form again. And again, when you are getting proper service and you're making more direct runs, you're going to have more chances. And obviously, we know Lewandowski is, you know, really good at converting. And maybe this is the spark that we need. Again, we are only about 10 points away from the top. I know it's going to be a struggle. I'm not saying it's going to be that. But if we can put some pressure now, that'll definitely help, right? And especially if we get something out of Lewandowski, right? As we've noted, since the last World Cup is when it has really been a downturn for Lewandowski. There's something there that happened where it was the performance before the World Cup and then after. And maybe by having this slight formation change of Christensen coming up and Gundogan pushing even more for the attack, maybe that opens up Lewandowski. So we will see how that unfolds. The other player I need to talk about is Victor Roque. I think Victor Roque has shown flashes of the attack that we need with the runs. We've seen it a couple times. We've been clamoring for more playing time for him. I think he would be a really good pairing with Lewandowski, almost in a 4-4-2. And maybe that's kind of what we need to do with this pairing. Maybe use Christensen and then have Pedri, Frankie de Jong, and Gundogan in front of him. And then, you know, rotate Victor Roque with Lamine Yamal. I don't know. I'm just thinking outside the box. Because, again, with Lamine Yamal, we need to conserve his minutes. You know, he's putting on quite the workload for being 16. And he is so important to our attack. You know, I really hope that in the Granada match we give him some rest. Because he has worked so hard in these last matches we have to really understand the load management of Lamine Yamal and also try to taper that up so he's ready for the Napoli match. Because, sure, Granada is a La Liga match. It's still important. However, I think we can still get enough productivity from Vitor Roque in this match to conserve Lamine Yamal for the upcoming matches. Now, Vitor Roque comes in. He scores the clinching goal, essentially. I mean, not the clinching goal, but basically the goal that we needed to kind of calm our nerves a bit. You know, it was a nice play there with Pedri, I believe. And more importantly, he comes in and he gets that goal. And you could just see that the team is riding with his confidence. Now, he also got red carded. So he had the full gamut of emotions of a La Liga player. You know, he scores a goal, got two yellow, expelled, you know. And obviously the two yellows were a joke, especially the second one. The second one, we're going to talk about this in a second with the La Liga refs. But it is such a travesty of the refereeing in La Liga. It is such a joke. And it's not just for Barcelona, it's for every team in La Liga. However, we're going to see what happens with the Vitor Roque decision. Obviously, they are trying to appeal it, and we will see what happens. But again, I think if we use this lineup, I think it gives us the best run for our money, right? I think we are defensively sound, especially with Ter Stegen coming back. That's going to help as well to give us a little bit more confidence on there in the back. And then also just putting Gundogan and Frankie de Jong in the positions they need to be. You know, I get really excited. I always harp back to when Frankie de Jong was on Ajax and the way he would drive that counter and how dangerous that was. And you're starting to see that a little bit, especially in the Alaves match. He was able to pick and choose those times and we looked dangerous, right? This match, I have to say, was the first match in a long time that was fun to watch. And like, I didn't want to turn it off. And that hasn't happened in a while, for sure. Again, I hope this is a lineup that maybe Xavi accidentally discovered and is going to use again this weekend in some form, but we will see. Xavi is very unpredictable with how he wants to run. Again, I think the ideal thing is to put Christensen. You get the best of everything through that. Everyone gets an improved performance. So we'll see. The next match for FC Barcelona is going to be on Sunday, 9 o'clock local time against Granada. That's going to be a tough one for me because the Super Bowl is the same night and I'm probably going to be trying to take a nap so I can watch the Super Bowl, but I will record it and watch it on a later time. Again, if you're looking for more Barca chatter, our WhatsApp group is on fire, especially over the managerial talks, the players that we are seeing coming and going. It's just a good time if you are looking for a virtual Peña. Again, in our show notes, we have the Patreon link. It's $5 a month. You get a bunch of stuff. But more importantly, the WhatsApp chatter is awesome because, you know, when you're around town and you can't watch the match, it's a great way to be connected. You're actually getting a sense of what's happening. And it's on your phone. Like, you don't have to log into a Discord or anything like that. So, again, if you're interested in joining, we have a great group of international culés, and it's a lot of fun. All right, let's get into La Liga refs. This is such, you know, this is always a polémica here in Spain, and they love talking about it. I understand why. It's a lot of, you know, he said, she said type of banter. And it really just depends on how you see the angles and how you feel, right? You could poll 10 people and you're going to get different opinions from everyone. And over the weekend, you know, I was watching a couple matches and just watching the sports show and just kind of seeing what they were talking about with La Liga refs. And a couple things stood out to me. So this weekend in the Madrid Derby on Sunday night, there was a Bellingham penalty no call, which definitely should have thought that it was a penalty for them. Then obviously the Barca match with the Vitor Roque terrible calls and how he got a red card. In the Girona match, the manager got ejected, and again, some bad calls there. And then also highlighted by Segunda matches where there's just a lack of consistency. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is consistency. And okay, so we have a lack of consistency. We are now getting the audios of VAR, which is great. We get to see a little bit more transparency on that. And that's still not helping. We're still missing a lot of calls. So how does La Liga address this? Because there's so much noise with refereeing, right? First of all, I would say the first thing is knowing the referee prior to the match and knowing their allegiance, right, to what team they supported as a kid and so forth, I mean, sure, that could have some biases in there, obviously, but to me, I think the solution is the one referee is outdated. I think the action is too much. The running is too much for one referee. You have the sideline judge, and ideally, the referee is running diagonally to have, you know, the view of the opposite ref and so forth. I just think with the action that's happening, the athleticism with these players now, the referee just can't keep up. And I think the solution is really to have a second referee inside. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how who's going to have the, you know, upper hand on the calls and so forth. But I do definitely think there needs to be another referee. I think to have more eyes on it, I think what happens a lot of times with these referees is with these missed calls, they're just out of position. And unfortunately, VAR isn't there to support them as much as we want them. I also think another issue needs to happen is to have one challenge or one VAR look for each manager per game. I think that will help because, you know, a lot of these issues, you know, if the manager throws, quote unquote, the red flag like they do in the NFL and they throw this, you know, I want the referee to look at this VAR, then they're going to have less issues with the outcome and maybe less polemica because now the manager has made a decision to have it reviewed by VAR. I really am concerned with the refereeing because, you know, when you have these referees with so many bad calls or missed calls, it just drives you crazy, especially with all the technology that's available. That's the other thing. You know, we're not talking about 1980s, you know, football here where we don't have the technology to help assist these referees. And again, I don't understand why La Liga doesn't want to give the referees all the tooling, all the support to avoid this. And maybe it's because it's an old school thought of just, you know, if they're talking about the matches, that helps generate content and interest. And so that's okay with that. But again, we're seeing this across so many matches. It's not, you know, not just from a Barca point of view, not from a Real Madrid point of view. This is happening across La Liga and Segunda too. Like just the bad decision making and consistency of the refereeing. I think the immediate thing that could help to expel some of these refereeing issues is to have the challenge flag. I think, you know, without trying to add the second referee, because I think a lot of people would say, oh, there's too many people in the park. Gotcha. I understand that point of view completely. Maybe the challenge option is a quick one that will help managers challenge those calls and get those calls reviewed, and that maybe help calm the polemica a bit. So again, and I hate to talk about refereeing because, you know, a lot of it has to do with the play, but when so many things are being missed and it's so inconsistent, I think La Liga definitely has a refereeing issue. All right, let's get into the Deco interview he did it with La Vanguardia. Whew, I have a lot of issues with this. You know, when you are presenting the club and you are the sporting manager and you have basically, you are making the decisions of who's going to be the next manager and player movement, I feel you really have to present yourself in a professional manner. And we were joking about this in our WhatsApp group. I don't know if you saw the video of this, but Deco looks like he just rolled out of bed for this interview. He couldn't be bothered to dress. And the way he was talking and just kind of, I don't know, it sent me bad vibes because if that's the way he's addressing this position, I'm really nervous about the future in the next 2 years, you know? I mean, just compare him to the previous sporting director, Matteo Alemanni, right? The way he would always be in a suit, the way he would always present himself was professional. He was always looking for the best bargains, the best buys for Barcelona. And most importantly, he wasn't attached to Mendes at the hip as much as Deco is. One of the things I'm finding troubling with this is the idea of the manager coming in next. You know my opinion on the next manager. I like Thiago Motta, for example, but more and more, I really think it's going to be Rafa Márquez, the next manager, because I just honestly think it's just easier to promote Rafa Márquez and find a Barca B replacement. Again, his quote on Thiago Motta was, "I don't follow Motta's work on a regular basis, as I'm not used to follow his Italian team. Why? Like, what are we doing? To me, we need to find a manager that has experience, that a manager that is in the top six of his league, per se, you know, and in the top five leagues of Europe. So why aren't you following the Italian league? I don't get it. You know, as a sporting director, you know, one of the things you need to be in charge of is scouting, not only a player, but also managers. And again, according, you know, when asked about Rafa Márquez, his quote was, yes, he's here. He's young, but he's growing and proving a lot. He will develop well here. Wow. I mean, you know, I always think about the general managers in the NBA and the NFL about how they always have plan B, plan C, plan D, and they're always looking and scouting. And to me, it just feels we are still reactionary in FC Barcelona. And this is one of the issues that drives me crazy, in that when we did first hire Deco, you know, Deco was a former agent. You know, he didn't have so much experience like Alemany did in negotiations with player, understanding the club in a sporting director sense, right? And again, when I see him talking and the way it doesn't feel as though they have a concrete plan, it really bothers me. And again, they were asking him questions about him and Laporta and about, you know, Vitor Roque sending off in the Alves match, sure. But the other thing too is, again, this narrative that the refs are only against Barca. As I just mentioned before, the refs are terrible across all La Liga. It's not just a Barca narrative. And the idea that we are continuing to put blame on the refs for our performances is completely missing the boat. And again, this is what always bothers me about Barcelona from a PR standpoint. It is so almost political in a way that Laporta, the sporting director, have to always spin a narrative in a way that it's not just about the performance on the field, it's not about the results. I mean, you talk about almost any other football team besides Real Madrid. You talk about Liverpool, Chelsea, Man U. They're talking about the players. They're talking about the strategy. They're talking about the tactics. Hardly are they ever talking about this narrative about the referees solely against their club. And we continue to have it. And Deco expanded on that in this interview. And just talking about favoritism for referees to Madrid. And, you know, this time, it's like, come on, man. Like, I understand it's... Maybe he's getting that mandate from Laporta to kind of spin that to maybe, you know, give us a distraction, you know, on the actual cause of what's happening with the team. But again, this part always reminds me of politics in that sense. The other thing, too, is, when asked about Xavi leaving, he said he was surprised and that, you know, they're planning on to find a replacement for the manager. You know, they're starting the search and it's like, man... You know, starting and always being reactionary still bugs me. And so, you know I have to give Deco some leniency because he just came in. But again, from watching this interview and the comments and also just seeing the video of him, as you know, I'm a body language doctor, you know, it just drives me crazy, right? Like, I understand if, you know, maybe he was on a boat in Ibiza with the reporter, sure, you know, being in shorts and shirt and more relaxed, but you know, this is in the studio. You know, they told him to come into the studio and he just like rolls up, you know. And I don't know, I just don't have the confidence in his abilities as much as I did with Matteo Alemany, for example. With Alemany, I always felt that he was looking for the bottom line. And so again, we will see what happens in this offseason. This offseason is going to be massive, you know, a manager. And then also trying to revamp the roster. You know, we're seeing rumors that Tottenham could be interested in Rafinha. Do we sell him? I would say yes. Let's get as much as we can, because we have seen that La Masia continues to produce. And that's where we have to kind of bridge the gap until we can get back into the Camp Nou and make money again. That's my opinion. It's going to be a huge offseason for Deco. And I really hope that he just doesn't... I just hope he doesn't pick a Mendes player, you know, and Mendes people. Like, I really hope that they're open-minded to other things, you know. Scout the Italian League, for example. The last thing I want to hit on the episode is the Femini. The Femini had their Champions League draw. They're going to be facing Braun, their next opponent, March 20th in the quarterfinals. And their next match is the Copa de la Reina against Sevilla tomorrow. So they should pass through there, 7:30 local time again. If you just need a pick-me-up to lift your footballing spirits, definitely check out the Femini. They're always on DAZN or YouTube for the most part. So that will do it. Again, we're going to have another episode on Friday. I'm going to be talking to Ben Hayward to get his opinions because, you know, sometimes when we're in this ecosystem of Barcelona, we kind of miss the trees a bit. So I met up with Ben last week in Madrid. We got to catch up and, yeah, I'm really interested to hear more of his opinions about the Xavi departure, the refereeing issues here in La Liga, and also just Barcelona as a whole because we had a lot of good conversations last week in Madrid. So I want to carry that over into this week's episode. So Ben Hayward will join me on the Friday episode. Everyone have a good day / night wherever you are. As always, Forza Barça.
Podcast Network.